This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
It's been a year since a series of bombings rocked Austin, killing two people and injuring four others. Memorial events have begun for victims, but remembering the tragedy has not been hard for some. KUT's Dalia Jones has more about how neighbors are recovering and connecting.
Last year on March 2nd, Monica Sledge and her then two-year-old son were playing in the living room by the door to their backyard.
I heard it as like a loud, like a deep boom. And the thing that was really traumatizing about it was the windows. The windows shook. And we could just feel the air sort of change a little bit. And when my son said thunder, I was just like, no. This is not thunder.
Sledge says she grabbed Luke and ran into the back room to wake up her husband.
I called 911 and they were like, okay, we are getting a lot of reports of from Haverford. And I was like, okay.
The 1100 block of Haverford was the location of the first of the series of bombings. Anthony Stephen House was the first victim. Austin police began investigating the bombing as a possible isolated homicide, and Sledge says she found out on the news that evening that it was in fact a bomb that had exploded only a few houses down. She says they've lived in the neighborhood for about 6 years now. She talked to House on several occasions before the bombing and remembered him as being really nice, which is why she found it weird that his death was being investigated in relation to a drug raid that happened days earlier.
Like, I really admired him as a neighbor. His house was always so impeccable. But I started thinking, like, well, I mean, I didn't really know him.
10 days later, on March 12th, a similar scene unfolded on Diana de la Fuentes' street in the Montopolis neighborhood.
So that morning, my mom says she ended up going, I guess, like, she knew the neighbors. Like, she would go over all the time. She would always go get coffee with them. Since they were, like, older ladies. She went that morning and she's like, they're not awake.
De La Fuente is a freshman studying criminology at Texas A&M. She says her family has lived in their home her whole life. After her mother came back from next door, her family gathered in the living room to watch TV.
And then out of nowhere, it was like around 11 when we all randomly heard an explosion and we all ran outside.
She says she saw 75-year-old Esperanza Herrera on the ground in front of her home on Galindo Street. De La Fuente and her family ran over to help Herrera. They called 911. She says police and federal agents arrived at the scene and blocked off parts of the neighborhood.
They're like, whatever you have, you're out. Like, we don't want nothing. Like, they wanted to check everything. They're like, y'all are out. Y'all gotta go.
De La Fuente says she didn't know that earlier that morning, a similar package bomb had killed 17-year-old Draylen Mason and injured his mother 6 miles away. She says her family and their neighbors weren't allowed back into their houses until officials were finished investigating several days later.
We can prevent these things from happening while NYPD is still doing an investigation. So let's just be mindful and courteous.
Chaz Moore is the executive director of the Austin Justice Coalition, a group that advocates for racial and economic equity. A few days after the bombing in Montopolis and before a fourth bombing, his organization hosted a community town hall. The event brought together local and federal officials with residents to address questions and concerns.
Because everybody was on high alert. Some people wasn't going to work. Some people wasn't sending their kids to school. So I think we just felt the responsibility to do our part to make sure everybody knew that they were safe and that the city and that Chief Manley and police department was doing the best they could to put an end to it.
One thing Moore talked about at the event last March was communicating with neighbors more outside of just emergency situations, which he says can be hard in a growing city like Austin.
In the case of emergency, right, like my Instagram friends, they can't save me, right? But if I have this fellowship, if I have this community with my neighbor, that's somebody that I should be able to rely on, or somebody that I can call when I need something, or somebody that I can look out for if I see something suspicious going on.
During the investigation, APD and federal officials encouraged residents to connect with their neighbors face-to-face and through apps like Nextdoor, a social network for neighborhoods. Nextdoor says in the following months, signups increased in 3 out of 4 neighborhoods where bombings occurred. In some cases, big increases. In the neighborhood where the first bombing happened, Monica Sledge says she sees more Wi-Fi video doorbells these days, and she says she's more apprehensive about opening her door to strangers. The trauma Sledge experienced from the first bombings took a toll on her. By the second and third bombings, she says she had to seek out help for anxiety and depression.
I just lost it. I was like, I need to talk to somebody right now because I can't control myself now. I have too many things on my plate for me to dissect myself.
Sledge eventually began seeing a counselor. Immontopolis Diana De La Fuente looks at a rusted hole on the bottom of her sister's car door. It was penetrated by a piece of the bomb. She says it's been a process trying to recover from the event.
I just look out for everything. So it's harder to feel safe, for sure.
She says Esperanza Herrera, the woman injured in the third bombing, moved after her mother passed away in January. That's been tough because the neighborhood helped care for Herrera's mother and two other elderly residents across the street.
It's just like seeing the changes that they're trying to do to the house. It's just in our heads. It's just like, why are they going to change it? Just leave it the way it was. So.
As for community outreach, De La Fuente says almost everyone in her neighborhood tries to be friendly and her mother has contact information for many people in the area. But it could be better. Sledge says she went to her first homeowners association meeting and has reached out to some of her neighbors a bit. But it's been hard.
There have been, you know, car break-ins and those kinds of things in the past, and we communicate about it on the Nextdoor app, but otherwise we just people don't usually talk to each other. It's kind of sad.
The Austin Justice Coalition's Chaz Moore says he's been talking to Austin Mayor Steve Adler about setting up more ways to connect to residents.
One of the ideas that we talked about, just going to as many neighborhoods as possible and setting up a community event so for the neighbors to get to know each other, and then, you know, whatever they do after that is up to them.
Until then, Sledge says she'll continue to try to reach out to people that live around her and Anthony House's family, who still lives a few doors down, if and when there's a chance to send her support the right way.
I don't know what I want to do. Otherwise, I was thinking about, you know, should I leave some flowers over there, or like I want to do something, but I don't really know them, and I feel like it might look weird if I just walk up to their house and say, I'm just thinking about you.
Dalia Jones, KUT News.